We travel to the gorgeous rolling hills of the Driftless area to hear from a butcher who sees her profession through community and skilled craft. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. First, let's check in on our spring member drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Hi there, Lee.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. And our goal is to keep hearing the voices of Wisconsinites, learn about their craft and their passion, all contributing to bettering our communities, bettering Wisconsin. And, you know, your support makes that happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And right now, Kate, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000.
Nice.
And this this generous match is from current members, including a member in Big Bend and Waukesha County, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
Yes, we got to get down to business here. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a really great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. However, voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of support for our WPR programs.
That's right. You make the difference. You make the quality, you make the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And because WPR matters to you, make that personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to and get those dollars matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as you can probably imagine at WPR, we have a core group of supporters who continue to give and give generously. They willingly contribute because they depend on this vital resource, and maybe you rely on WPR too. And for whatever reason, you haven't given yet.
Yes. So we're here to tell you that WPR relies on new donors, new faces, new voices like you to grow and to keep high-quality programs on the air. So today is the day. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month or any amount that's right for you is all it takes.
Today, donate any amount and you could win a $1,000 gift card to Wheel and Sprocket. Buy a new bike, add a trailer for your kids or cargo, or get your hands on some of the latest cycling gear. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Bike Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Lee Rayburn. It's your support during the spring member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And it's super easy. All it takes is a couple of minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, like $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every day, again and again, in the form of engaging conversations, engaging programs. So show your support, get in on the match at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
So this dollar for dollar match, it's still in effect through the hour. $3,000 to match before we're done with this hour, and there's still room for your gift to be matched. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
In addition to funding the programs, your donation enters you into this fabulous drawing for a Wheel and Sprocket gift card. This is good stuff. Enjoy $1,000 to spend on bikes or cycling gear for your next outdoor adventure. So give now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-252-2552. And sustainers, we got your back. Those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much, and you're automatically entered.
I could use that support from Wheel and Sprocket. My bike sounds like it needs a new muffler kit. So if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and the monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs we all love and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during our member drives.
Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org, and thank you for your support. Now to the ancient practice of butchery and approaching it as a skilled craft that deserves attention and respect, especially to the animals. According to the Butchers Guild, this is the fraternity of meat professionals. Preserving the trade means knowing the past, which dates back before recorded history. Join in 800-642-1234. Conversation for the butcher right here, 800-642-1234. Heather Opper is a butcher in the Argyle area of southwest Wisconsin, practices on-farm slaughter of animals in an effort to harvest in a more humane way. Heather, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks, Kate.
Well, I want to acknowledge that this is a difficult conversation to have for people who feel eating animals is inhumane and not part of their philosophy in living. But you also see the humanity in your craft. Can you describe your values as a butcher?
Yeah, absolutely. Eating meat is absolutely a personal choice, but I want to make sure that when you do it, I think that it should be done with mindfulness and, you know, care and compassion and considering, you know, the life of the animal, you know, in all aspects, you know, from being raised through the process of, you know, being harvested.
You really come at this approach in a different way. You see it as a craft, almost as an art form. Can you describe that?
Sure. So butchery is, you know, we're very used to seeing, you know, large meat processors and going to the grocery store and being able to kind of get your, you know, very basic, you know, steaks and cuts and things like that. But as an artisan butcher, taking, you know, the animal and looking at the best way to, you know, create something beautiful out of, you know, what they've made, and, you know, building or, you know, making, you know, different types of cuts or really focusing on, you know, the quality of the meat or, you know, the different layers of fat and marbling and things like that. Just really ascertaining the animal for what it is and, you know, trying to pull the best out of it.
When you talk about being an artisan butcher, there used to be the small town butcher or the corner butcher in communities. Do you feel like we've gotten away from that?
Absolutely. It's been very difficult to watch all of these small town butchers go out of business. It's just become more convenient for people to shop at a larger grocery store. And it's harder for communities to sustain smaller butcher shops. You know, the pricing is usually a little bit higher, but that's usually because they're paying farmers, you know, fair prices for the animals that they're providing. And, you know, they're doing the labor by hand. It's not, you know, machinery driven. So that is going to cause prices to rise a little bit more. But I do think it's really important that we maintain that relationship between local farms and butchers.
You grew up on farms, but at first in your career field, you didn't choose this. What brought you to butchery?
I was in marketing for 15 years and just felt like I was being drawn to something that was a little bit more in my heart. And so I went to culinary school, and while I was there, I was really interested in that, you know, how can I pull my history and my love for farming and animals and help, you know, create something sustainable out of it. And butchery was the track that really called.
And now you're in a 2-year master meat crafter program. What is that like?
It's really interesting. The UW meat science building is brand new and it's been fantastic. But I'm meeting my other students, or the other students in the program are from all over the United States. And so just getting to hear their stories and what they've been working on and how they're kind of building their own vision for what butchery is going to look like in their community has been really exciting.
part of that knowledge is in the actual slaughter itself. And I know this is difficult to talk about, but you have really had to approach this with your learning as well. What have you observed? What can you say about that?
It is a very personal subject, especially for people who are hunters. You know, that's you're going out and you're harvesting something to sustain yourself and your family and friends. In these scenarios, you know, one of the things we're learning is the most humane ways to harvest animals. There's a lot of new techniques and practices that are coming about, and it's all in effort to make sure that these animals are comfortable and healthy and treated humanely.
How can a consumer, the shopper, know the difference between, say, good meat versus bad meat, or how that? Yeah, go ahead.
It's just there shouldn't be any bad meat on the shelves, but I think you know, being able to identify where your meat came from is really important. For me, I usually recommend that people find a local butcher. There's some great ones in Madison, Conscious Carnivore, Meat People. Those are fantastic places that really build relationships with the farms, and so they can tell you exactly like where the animal came from, you know, what their life was like, what they ate, how they were raised, and things like that. I think just being able to know more about, you know, where your food comes from is important.
We have butcher Heather Opper, who stays with us on Appreciating the Craft, giving us greater perspective on where that meat came from and what that is on our plate. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Heather Opper here on the Ideas Network. We have the voice of a butcher as we explore the skill, the craft, the values involved in this profession. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's talk about our spring member drive that is just moving right along here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we want to say, as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting, something that piques your interest when you join us. And that is thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make The Morning Show possible and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
That's right, Kate, and we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Big Bend. So that means that your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and I'm not going to do any more math for you this morning. You get the idea. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And on The Morning Show, you hear policymakers, you hear politicos answer questions on a wide variety of state, national, and international topics.
Oh, yeah. Like on Mondays during the State Capitol Report, we cover legislative sessions, state elections, state budget issues, the state Supreme Court, and more. And we bring you hour-long book conversations with authors who take us deeply into the issues of our time, and you get to talk to them all.
Mm-hmm. And we do cover a lot of ground here. Every week, you're part of that as a community of listeners, as a caller, a contributor. So support this valuable source of information and great access to guests with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or credit card.
And many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. It's a great way to give continually. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
David, thank you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It'll be matched, by the way, dollar for dollar. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn this morning, and it's your support of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the great programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we always ask that you give the amount that's right for you. Some more simple math here. It's a basic formula. Look at it this way. Say you hear three things today that you're really glad you heard and would not have heard anywhere else. If you paid a dime for each of those, that would work out to about $10 a month. If that math adds up for you, then make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Lee, we have all this match money on the table. It is there for the taking to get your dollars matched dollar for dollar. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And then ask for a thank you gift when you give $10 or $20 a month. From apparel to drinkware, you'll show off your WPR pride wherever you go. Learn more about what's available when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now we explore butchery and hear the perspective of a Driftless area butcher who is trying to help reshape our perception of butchers, elevate this, make us think more deeply about the meat on our plate, how it got there. Conversation is at the intersection of butchery and community, 800-642-1234. Join in, 800-642-1234. Questions for the butcher. Heather Opper has been butchering for about a decade and stays with us. Heather, you practice on-farm slaughter and the practice harvests animals at the farm instead of having farmers send their animals to a separate facility. Why do you do it that way? Why do you think that's important?
The farmers that we are working with through the Meatsmith Co-op, which is a producer and worker-owned co-op, one of our missions is to put as little stress on the animal as possible and make it easier for farmers to get their livestock to processing facilities. Because of the pandemic and just in general, being able to book out dates to take your animals into a facility is, you know, 6 months to 2 years out, depending on where you're located and what type of animals you have. And so having to wait that long and care for your animals for that additional period of time puts a financial impact on the farmer. But it's also really hard on the animal to transport them long distances because of the lack of processing facilities in our area. Some of those drive times can be, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours.
I'd imagine as well you're expending more fossil fuels to be able to have to transport and do that step of taking animals off farm.
Absolutely.
And we heard from Jeff in Delafield, called in, couldn't stay with us. Jeff has a question for you, wants to know about the aging process for meat and how that might change the flavor.
Oh, so that, so once an animal is harvested, dry aging is kind of been within the last 10 years or so, become quite popular. And you're basically taking larger portions of the animal, which we call primals, and you put them in a temperature, air-circulated, a controlled environment where you allow that meat, the lactic acid in the meat to break down the muscle fibers. And so it gives it a more tender texture. It can also add some really unique flavor elements to it. It's a very cool process.
How long might that aging take?
Oh, man. So I would say traditionally you're looking at about 30 to 45 days for the majority of things that you see, but I've seen up to 6 months.
Okay. What advice do you have for people who are considering becoming a butcher and pursuing this as their career path?
I love that question. I taught for the Artisan Modern Meat Butchery Program at Madison College here in Madison. It's one of the first of its kind, especially in the state of Wisconsin. It's a one-year certification where they really dig into all aspects of, you know, modern meat butchery, from animal carcass breakdowns to operating a butcher shop and entrepreneurial classes. It's really fantastic. I would recommend people check that out if they're interested in butchery.
So really looking at the strong, you see really the education programs are really strong in this area.
Yes, and one of the things we're hoping to do is start building out more apprenticeship-style programs, working with the state to get government grants and funding to provide internships for individuals who might be, you know, in communities that don't have a traditional or technical program available.
You mentioned this briefly, but you're working on developing a farmer and worker-owned cooperative with other farmers in a six-county area. What is going on there?
Yeah, so we definitely noticed that there was a lack of processing and harvesting facilities in southwestern Wisconsin. And so myself, along with our great board, started up Meatsmith Co-op about a year ago. And our goal is to basically have farmers and workers own the process, own the, you know, how the business is set up and managed, and really just give farmers and workers a say in, you know, creating a more sustainable, like, meats system, you know, for our area.
Do you think that enables you to kind of go up against much larger meat facilities, meat packers?
I'm really hoping so, especially when we, you know, collectively, you know, bring product together. We can market it, you know, as a larger unit for sale rather than individual farmers trying to sell at farmers markets. Or, you know, to just, you know, individual consumers. So I'm hoping that we'll have more, you know, selling and buying power this way.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Heather Opper is a butcher in the Argyle area, practices on-farm slaughter of animals. Ahead this hour, we meet the new Miss Milwaukee in the work of helping young women find their voice. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we get to meet Miss Milwaukee 2022. Jada Davis is here, the first Black woman to be crowned Miss Milwaukee. But first, it's our spring member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and I would like to say that it is your support that is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. In fact, it's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for these interesting discussions. And that's why Lee Rayburn, my colleague, is here to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right, Kate, and we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Big Bend and Waukesha County, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been hearing about the craft of butchery, and it's a voice in Wisconsin who we might not otherwise hear from, making us think and reflect about how meat is processed. And this thoughtful, local to Wisconsin discussion is really what we do best here at The Morning Show. These are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
It was wonderful to meet Heather Opper this morning and walk in her shoes a little bit, and excited to meet Miss Milwaukee in just a second. WPR is listener-supported, which means you make this possible. Your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these topics you tune in for every day available for all. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of, say, $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for your streaming services, your family phone plans. Listening to WPR is something you do every day as well. So put a value on it, like other things that are important to you. And then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I like Wisconsin Public Radio because the programming is excellent. I feel like being a listener and a contributor that it helps me be a little more in control of what's over the airwaves. Wisconsin Public Radio is important because all of us as a community are contributing and helping to make sure that we get balanced coverage on news and also a very positive listening environment. I find humor and I love the political discussion that covers both sides of the issues, and I think that's really important. I'm Amy Kocha from Green Bay, and I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Amy, thank you. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and it's why your support during this spring member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. It'll be matched. Maybe it's $100 a month. It will be matched right now. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And then you go out and you brag about it. After you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and family and even some strangers.
Well, whether you use social media or you just call them up the old-fashioned way you mention it to when you bump into them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their mind. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
It does feel wonderful, and our dollar for dollar match is still in effect.
That's wonderful too.
Let's keep it going. There's still room for your gift to be matched. So WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Think about that added bonus now for supporting programs you love. You could win that $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Sarah in Madison says, I love to listen to WPR on my commute to work. Elisa in Milwaukee says, I love my morning starting off with the interesting topics. I start my day curious, inspired, and informed. We do as well. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
And now we meet Miss Milwaukee 2022. Recently crowned, Jada Davis is here. Trailblazer, first Black woman to be crowned Miss Milwaukee. She's embarking on her social impact initiative now. It's called What's Wrong with Being Confident? Join in on pageants on self-esteem, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here with Miss Milwaukee, 800-642-1234. Jada Davis, business owner, Marquette University Law School student. Jada, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Great. What does it mean to be Miss Milwaukee? How do you describe it?
This means a lot just for me to have won the title during Women's History Month back in March was a super special moment, just to have a piece of history be part of my life. And then more importantly, the impact that I'm able to have with this role in the Milwaukee community, especially for other Black and Brown young women who don't see someone that looks like them in roles like this very often.
You don't come from a pageant background, I understand. What caused you to want to try this? I think this was your second time competing?
Yes. So competing came out of nowhere as far as pageantry and scholarship competitions goes. And when I did my first one, I thought that I was done. And then I realized, you know, people are encouraging me to keep going. And I was like, okay, maybe next year I'll try again. And then they announced Miss Milwaukee, and I figured, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to earn a scholarship. I'm in law school. Why not go for it? What can I lose? And so I decided to compete again, and I won the title and a very nice scholarship to go towards my legal education.
That's great. That is very handy. What have you learned from competing? What did you learn through going through this?
I learned that it takes dedication and just really centering yourself and your mind on positive things to try something new and to get through that and to go with the adversity that comes with that. You know, it took a lot to prepare for each of the competitions that I have participated in. And even with Miss Wisconsin coming up this June, just realizing that I am an overcomer and being able to put my mind to something and set goals and achieve them is what I've learned throughout this process.
Could you take us behind the scenes a bit? Because we may hold stereotypes about the pageant world that could use clarity, could use more discussion. What are those misconceptions about pageants and what are they really like?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about pageantry is that this is all about a beauty competition. And honestly, it's more than that. The Miss America organization is the largest scholarship provider for young women in the United States. And I think that it's important that these pageants and these competitions are recognized for what they're doing in supporting young women in their legal education. And not only are they supporting with scholarships, but this is an opportunity for young women to grow with like practical skills. So as far as competition goes, there's an interview segment, and just preparing for that alone will help young women with whatever interviews, you know, that they may have to do in the future.
Oh, like the one we're having right now.
Yeah, and for jobs that I have in 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's a really full day. So let's talk about your platform. What's wrong with being confident, focusing on self-confidence and body positivity for young women? How are you going about this initiative?
Yes, so What's Wrong with Being Confident is my initiative. And what that is centered on is bringing people together into one space so that we can have this space where we can share our experiences about the barriers that we face with building our confidence. And I usually share some of my personal stories as well as have other women share their stories so that we are all communicating and collaborating in this process along our confidence journey. And what I've been doing so far is going into different schools around the Milwaukee area and really advocating to our youth that they have a voice and that they can use that voice and be confident in themselves and to share their stories because it may inspire someone else.
I'm going to reintroduce you talking with Jada Davis, who is recently crowned Miss Milwaukee, a Marquette University Law School student, a business owner. You can join in with questions, 800-642-1234. Jada, I think you have this line, you never know what's behind the no. I'm wondering, when were you told no, and were you surprised by what was behind the no?
I was originally denied into the school of my dreams, which was a law school that I really wanted to get into at first. And what I didn't realize was that with not getting into that school, I eventually got in, but with not deciding to commit to going to that school, there were other opportunities that were presented to me right here in Milwaukee that I would not have had if I had went elsewhere. And so you never know what's behind the no, is that you never know what one decision will change for the trajectory of, you know, where you think you want to go and what you end up doing.
You're a first generation college student in law school, in the throes of law school. Who instilled in you the confidence, the drive to say, look, I'm going to do this? And when society at large may underestimate you, may look down on you, how did you build yourself up? How did you keep going?
Yeah, so I'm really inspired by my mom and my grandmother. And my grandmother has this saying, and she says, plan your work and work your plan. And ever since I was younger, that's always been instilled in me. And what I've learned is that if I plan to do something and I put my mind to it and I set these goals, that if I plan it out, I just have to execute it and you will be successful in whatever you do once you make the vision and make it plain and plan it out.
I just want to like let that soak in. Plan your work and work your plan. And it really sounds like you're living by that.
Yeah, like I said, that's something that's been instilled in me since I was a young girl. And so with everything I do, I plan it out. And then I work on executing those goals and putting in the hard work. And that's really what I hope to inspire other young women to do with this role that I have, is that you can be confident in yourself. And when you be your best self and you speak positivity over your life, that you can truly achieve the goals that you have.
But how do you differentiate confidence from being, you know, I'm going to steal the book title here, bossy pants, comedian Tina Fey there. But, you know, women who are leaders get there by being assertive, by standing up for themselves, which can be misconstrued as being perhaps bossy or controlling. How do you negotiate that?
Yeah, so there's definitely a difference between being confident in yourself and in your abilities and knowing what it takes. And knowing what it took you to gain that confidence in order to assert that to others. And when you assert that, you have to go up at it the right way. And it's different than being, you know, bossy or cocky. It's just a matter of, you know who you are and you know what you stand for, and you're not afraid to advocate for yourself.
Really sticking to your values and making sure that you look to yourself first for that strength, it sounds like.
Right.
So as you look at the categories here in the pageant, can you break down how the competition works? You mentioned that Miss Wisconsin's coming up June 15th, I think it starts. Is that right?
So we go up there June 13th, okay. And the week, that whole week will be up there until June 18th with the final competition on that Saturday. And what the competition looks like is there are four sections. There's talent, there is interview, there's red carpet, and then there's your social impact initiative. And on each day, there are different components that you compete in order to make the top 10 to compete again on Saturday for the title of Miss Wisconsin.
What is your talent in the competition?
I am performing a contemporary dance piece to a poem by Candace Nicholas Littman, read by Lakita Caldwell.
Can you take us a little bit into this piece and how it speaks to you and what you want to convey?
Yes. The poem is entitled Dear Black Girl, and it really resonates with me. In the poem, she's speaking about the barriers and the confidence struggles that young Black women have with their body image and being confident in themselves. And I think that's applicable for all women with the social standards that we are forcing ourselves to live up to, or feeling like we have to live up to these impossible standards that are being presented to us, especially on social media. And just to speak to the young women in the crowd, the women in general that are in the crowd that will be witnessing the piece, that, you know, we are women and we are strong and we are educated and we are modern day women who are challenging these barriers that are set before us.
How did you come across this poem, Dear Black Girl?
I was on YouTube. I originally picked a piece that I thought was something I wanted to perform to. And then I presented it to my choreographer, Morgan Williams of Water Street Dance. And he was saying, you need something that resonates with you a little more. And so I went on YouTube and I'm digging and I'm like, okay, what resonates with me? What do I want to say? And I'm like, okay, confidence. This is what I'm trying to show. I'm trying to inspire with this message. And so I came across Candace Nicholas Littman and I was like, oh, this is it. And we went from there and choreographed the dance to that.
You just knew once you heard it and you saw it that this was it.
Yeah, once I heard it, I'm like, yep, that's the one that speaks to me. That's exactly what I'm trying to get across.
Well, we only have a few seconds left, Jada, but what about law school? What would you like to do with your law career?
I will be graduating next spring from Marquette University, and hopefully I will get a job practicing in entertainment or family law. Those are my two areas of interest that I have focused my legal career on thus far. And so I hope to really pursue that and just get involved in those two industries.
Oh, all the best to you, Jada. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jada Davis is Miss Milwaukee. The Miss Wisconsin pageant is in June in Oshkosh. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Hope you stay with us next hour of The Morning Show as we discuss federal pandemic recovery aid and Wisconsin's share of the ARPA funds. Now it's a spring member drive that is blooming here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with my colleague Lee Rayburn. And we're here to say, as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join in on The Morning Show. And that is thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs. So when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make The Morning Show possible and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Running out of time for this hour's dollar for dollar match. It's coming from current members, including a member in Big Bend. And it's an opportunity for you to take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been talking about the passion and the pursuits of Miss Milwaukee, Jada Davis, hearing the voice of a young leader of color in Wisconsin and really on a path to help give young people more confidence and motivation. These are the kinds of uplifting conversations, maybe voices you wouldn't normally hear in your day. They make us see Wisconsin in a new way, and you can count on them from The Morning Show.
What a great way to wake up every morning. And WPR is listener supported, and that means it's your donation that makes it possible. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is what makes the topics that you tune in for every morning possible. So pick an amount that's right for you, then make your gift now.
And ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt. This is a navy shirt, features the WPR logo on the front and a Wisconsin inspired design in the back. So show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt now. Give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm John White. Let's talk about public radio. I've been listening to public radio for about 15 years. Civil discourse makes public broadcasting all the more valuable because it sifts out the noise, the anger, and agenda setting of commercial media. That's why public radio is my source for the gold standard in fair and honest discussion.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Your support during the spring member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, it will be matched right now, dollar for dollar. Get in on the match. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And then you double it up. It's in effect right now, as Kate said, and it's a great time to donate because our current members, including a member in Big Bend, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to get involved and support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double it up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you might spend a few dollars a month or more on TV streaming, a movie subscription service du jour. Think about paying for your WPR usage that same way. After all, you join us every day for information and entertainment.
And if you've never given before, start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month that's comparable to your Netflix or HBO or Disney Plus or any of your subscription services. Subscribe here. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Look, we have this dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. We have minutes left of it, and we have match money on the table, more than $2,500 to go here to get every penny out of this match. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Tick, tick, tick. Ask for a WPR thank you gift when you give $10 or $20 a month, from apparel to drink well wear. Let the world know WPR is your source for information and inspiration. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Jill in Monona, who says, I'm donating because I listen every morning, of course. Jill says, your gift right now is so important. Jill, thank you. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Get in on this match. Moments left. And thank you for your support.